Good morning, Scotland on Sunday with Isabel Fraser and Bill Whiteford. The first survey of orchards in Scotland for well over a century is underway, and the findings suggest that the country has only a fraction of the capacity it had in the mid-1800s. Orchards first took root here more than 800 years ago, with over 40 varieties of apple, as well as pears, plums and other fruits, having been successfully cultivated over the centuries. But varieties like the Bloody Ploughman and the Lasso Gowrie are in danger of disappearing now that the traditions of tending and developing orchards have faded. But all may not be lost. Enthusiasts and community groups are coming together to revive orchards in Scotland and in the process enhance the environment and support fruit production. And the survey process has turned up long-forgotten orchards in some of the nation's most inaccessible corners. Dr. Crispin Hayes is Executive Director of the Scottish Natural Heritage Project Orchard Revival.
Yeah, we've got a great and lengthy history of orchards in Scotland. They really came over with the monastic houses, that settlement of various different religious orders that came in this the late 1100s. Sort of around 1170, 1180, they came to the Scottish borders first of all, and then they sprung up to the Forth and indeed the Tay, and then further up the coast to Arbroath and the likes. And so they brought with them from their bases in the Low Countries, France and Italy to a certain extent, they brought with them this practice and technology of growing fruit. And so we see it's starting then, pears being the predominant fruit that they brought with them. And the settlement of orchards in Scotland grew from that base. And so we see these religious houses where they have lands. They require their tenants to look after the orchards as part of the tenancy agreements, to replant them. And so we've got hundreds of years of this practice of growing fruit.
What were those fruits like? You mentioned pears, but these would be unlike the modern dessert pears that we have now. They'd be more of a sort of staple.
Indeed, yeah, they aren't like the table fruit that we have now. They would be more starchy, and they would require cooking, so they were cooking pears. But they also stored better. And so, you know, over the last 800 years, there's certainly been some improvements in fruit varieties, as in with many things. You know, people have been breeding for improved qualities. But they were, and they still are in some of the older varieties, they're a good staple. And we've got to think back to the times before the discovery of the New World across the Atlantic. We didn't have the potato. We didn't have starchy storables that people could rely on through the winter, and pears became one of those, although, you know, to a much lesser extent as a staple than perhaps wheat and barley, but storing those also had its problems. But even in living memory, people are storing, just in ambient storage in straw-filled boxes, people were storing pears from the picking season, which is around now, all the way through to February, March. And you pick the right varieties at the right time and store them in the right way. And you don't need to have cold storage. You don't need to have anoxic stores, which is typically how fruit's stored now. The technology was there. So they had the practice. They had these established ways of actually using this fruit right through the winter season.
And talk me through some of the varieties that there were and why they developed the way they did, because we're perhaps familiar with the idea that not all apples, for instance, are immediately edible off the tree. Some are used for cider and so on. But what was the variety? What were they being bred for?
Well, I think they were being bred for being useful for storing, certainly the storing ability. So in terms of apples, there are, you know, there's a huge variety of different cultivars. I mean, there's some in 1971, the Ministry of Agriculture, as it was then, recorded 3,500 apple varieties in Britain. There's a lot fewer pear varieties, but some of the older pear varieties would be very ancient. And of course, they're all derived from wild relatives. That typically come from Central Asia, and actually, in case of plums, they come from the Middle East. So the damson comes from Damascus and that area of the world. But these varieties had good storing properties. They yielded well. You know, they wouldn't be seen today in terms of comparing it to our delicious table fruit. They wouldn't have been seen. They wouldn't be seen as particularly desirable now, unless you bottle them, you cook them and bottle them, or you preserve them, or you pickle them, or do something like that with them. We've got a lot more variety of different foods that we can draw on today. They didn't have that in those days.
And so you say that they started with religious houses, monasteries and so on. How did orchards themselves then develop through to the 19th and 20th centuries?
So looking at the literature, what it seems is that orchards were on a fairly small scale in most of Scotland. And so it became practice that people had them as really private orchards for their own use. And that was widespread. And indeed, it still is widespread. It was really the coming of the Act of Union and the stability that that provided that enabled the larger commercial orchards to exist. And those commercial orchards are predominantly on the Castlegarrie between Dundee and Perth. And also, I mean, as everybody knows, the Clyde Valley is also a famous orchard area. It's famous now for its plums, but the plums are relatively recent. They've only been there as the main crop since the late Victorian era. Before that, it was apples and pears. And indeed, there are apples and pears still there, but in a minority. So those were the two key areas, and probably for different reasons, they became the main areas. But actually, even today, throughout the borders, there are a lot of orchards throughout the Scottish borders. And indeed, the Castle of Stirlingshire was another area where there were a lot of orchards. But there's a good distribution throughout Scotland. And in our recent work with Orchard Revival, we carried out a project, the National Orchard Inventory for Scotland. We were surprised how many new orchards there are up in the West Highlands, up on the West Coast.
So what's the inventory actually found then, in terms of how many there used to be, how many there are now, and what we've lost and what we've gained?
Well, the inventory, we've done a fair bit of work on the inventory over the last several years. It's been a really good Scottish Natural Heritage funded research project. We started off by doing a desk study across the whole of the country, and we found nearly 2,000 candidate sites, just looking through old surveys, using aerial photos, old maps, and this sort of thing. So the Ordnance Survey first edition back in 1860 was very detailed, and it showed orchards, individual orchards. And so we had this this desk study data set, and then in the second phase, we went out and carried out survey work, looking at each of the sites that we thought was an orchard. And that work was carried out in collaboration with local groups, and they had volunteer surveyors. We provided the systems and the mechanisms and how to collect the data and the standards and coordinated all of that. But essentially it was done by, it was a big citizen science project, and local organizations collaborated with us and they organized it and got their local volunteers to go out and have a look at these local orchards. So these local organizations now have a very good idea of what their orchard resources in their area, and our intention is that that forms a foundation for, you know, further work to actually target resources and make use of fruit.
And ultimately, optimistically, are we hoping that more people will actually plant new orchards or extensions to orchards that are there at the moment?
Absolutely. We've actually got a good climate. The key issue that we have in Scotland is the variability in the winter with the late frosts. And so actually, we're seeing less late frosts these days. And it depends where you are in the country, of course. But we can grow grapefruit in Scotland. We're not going to compete with for table fruit in the supermarkets. That's not going to happen. You know, there's going to be much more reliable places, whether it's in the south of England, in Kent, or the West Country, and indeed in further south in Europe. We're not going to compete with those. But actually, we can grow some really good quality fruit here, whether it's apples, pears, or plums. We could create some fantastic value-added products, as much of the rest of the Scottish food and drink business does. that's got a great story about its heritage and indeed the varieties, some of the interesting varieties that are available. And that could be the basis of, you know, a renaissance in some of the commercial orchards.
That's Dr. Crispin Hayes, Executive Director of Orchard Revival.